The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Baby, you're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Adriana Barrientos. I have Marie Early in studio with me, as well as Daniel Tagg. How you doing?
Doing good.
Always great to have you in studio. It really is.
Always good to be here.
Yeah, it's and today we have a very special show, a very serious show that you won't want to miss. Not our typical show at all, but it's something that really needs addressed. We're going to be speaking with Linda Hullaberger. She is the mother of Mason Hullaberger, her son sadly passed away last month on December 4th. We're going to be talking about that story. It's a huge controversial story because the Catholic Church is involved. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be talking with her about that and letting her have a voice. And so I'm looking forward to it. I actually spoke with her this morning for about an hour and a half. And wow. Everyone needs to hear this story. And anyway.
That'll be good.
I'm a little sad, you know. I am. I don't know how you could speak to the mother of someone who had just, under the circumstances, you'll hear the story mm-hmm. as we move forward. It's been all over the news, but it's basically, here's a headline from Fox News. Nobody could believe it. Parents speak out after priest condemned suicide at their son's funeral. Mm-hmm. And that's actually a very sensitive word for so many people that have experienced this. Has a lot of negative connotations around it, and it really shouldn't, because it's a very difficult thing to navigate through.
Right.
So, and everybody's so silent.
No, it's a sad time. Anyone takes your lives, but
yeah. And this world could be a very cruel place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to read this at the end of her segment, and maybe I should read it now. I know we're going to put it out on a Facebook post a social media post with Linda's permission, but the funeral ended with her saying to the people that attended the funeral and the congregation to please be kind to one another. Reach out to those you care about. I'm going to start crying again. Show sincerity in your actions and love forever unconditionally. Are those the most beautiful words you've ever heard? Like, seriously, especially knowing the story behind it, which you'll hear from Linda here in a few minutes. But we're also going to be talking with you, Daniel, about incorporating incidental movement into your daily routine. Mm-hmm. I do this a lot.
I actually just did it on the way up here. I was thinking about the article as I walked up the stairs.
Yeah? Oh, as you walked up the stairs.
Four flights from the garage. Okay. Yeah.
Well, look at you.
I know.
Look at you. And so I actually met the guy that wrote this article that we pulled it out of in Paleo Magazine, and I don't have it open. Hold on. Bear with me.
He picked you up.
He picked me up.
Oh.
And he flipped me over, and...
Oh, was this the guy that was on the sidewalk at Paleo FX?
Yeah, gotcha.
And Diamond had
primal
to...
movements.
Yeah. Yes. Daryl Edwards wrote the book.
Primal movements, right?
And Diamond had to literally cover my ass because
had your back.
When he flipped me over, uh-huh. my dress went
out. Yeah, you were wearing a skirt, so
yeah, probably not a good time to flip someone over when they're wearing a skirt. That's funny.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, hold on. But my arms weren't long enough to reach that far back behind, all the way around with my body upside down. So anyway.
Right.
But there's some really good stuff in here. There is. And there's some articles in here about doing a squat properly. I'm going to find it. They were all kind of in the back.
Oh, I really liked that one. There were like four different squat movements. Yeah.
I would be interested to read that
one. One was like a box squat. One was like a front squat. Mm-hmm. One was like one that you just like sat up with.
Uh-huh.
There were a few. I'll find it.
Oh, here it is.
Am I bad to say I don't know what incidental movement is?
So that's just like, it's just like doing anything that's out, like you think exercise, right? You go into the gym and exercise. Incidental movement would be like, okay, you just walk a longer distance from your car into the studio right here. That's kind of more incidental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or while you're doing housework, you dance or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I mean, just when I'm walking back and forth in work, I track it and I average about 4 to 5 miles. And I'm not trying to walk that far. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, I'm on my feet training people all day. And even when I'm at my house, I'm going back and forth from room to room. Like, I don't sit around a lot unless I'm in my car commuting.
Me either. That's the only time of the day I sit is here while I'm doing the show mm-hmm. and when I'm driving to and from the show or piano lesson or whatever. But right. I don't take piano. I wish I did.
Oh, my mom made me take piano. Sorry, Mom.
Why are you saying that?
I did not like piano. I don't get musical instruments that well. It's not my love. It's not something I enjoy.
It's good discipline, though. And it is. Probably was very beneficial.
I'm sure it was. I just didn't enjoy it.
most assuredly was. Good for your brain, good for your, you know, doing something every day that you don't necessarily like doing, but you do it anyway because you must persevere.
That was good. And right? It was funny because we all had two sisters at the time, and we'd all go to the same piano lady. Well,
What do you mean you had two sisters at the same time? Did you lose a sister?
At that time. So, no, Alyssa, my youngest sister, just wasn't born yet. She was maybe an infant. I don't remember what age I was going. But we'd go to this one lady. I think it was Mrs. Pagoda. we would go, and all three of us, and each one of us would have like a half an hour lesson or whatever. But the other two would be upstairs, and I would always have to do my math homework upstairs. We were homeschooled, so we would just do our work for the day and our math, and I would have to wait the hour and then go to the piano, or go to the piano, then go up and do the math homework. So the whole situation was not pleasant.
Isn't it funny how, Mrs. Pagoda, okay? Mm-hmm.
Great lady, great teacher.
How you remember these names that, like, you'll meet somebody and they'll introduce themselves. They might even have a name tag on, and the minute they walk away, you can't remember their name.
No. Oh, man, I did that today. I'm guilty.
Yeah, today, when I was speaking with Linda before the show, I was saying I went to Catholic school my whole life, and then after I got off the phone, I was like, yeah, except for fourth grade. And I was, you know, just reminiscing. That's where I had my first two crushes. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I'll never forget, like Bruce Vorse was one of them. And Bruce, if you're out there listening, give me a call, 214-787-1190. And then Mike Nevsky. Mm-hmm. And so how do I remember these names? Yeah. I haven't seen these gentlemen, I'm assuming they're gentlemen now, since fourth grade.
That's crazy. I can't even hardly remember my ex's names nowadays.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's not like I had a lot. There's like two or three.
Where are all your exes from? Texas or Colorado?
Or Tennessee.
No, technically Texas, because I don't count middle school as having anyone. My exes would be
Texas. Well, I don't know. Obviously,
Texas.
Those crushes are pretty powerful that I can still remember
on
Bruce
you,
and Mike's name.
So. Yeah, on you, I guess so.
From fourth grade.
Yeah, I don't count anything other than when I was out of college and that it was all here.
Yeah.
So.
My first crush was officially my first kiss was Paul George. Mm-hmm. He was an orphan at the orphanage down the street from from our family home and my dad's grocery store.
Oh wow, mm-hmm. That's cool.
He kissed me on my front porch.
To him, do you know?
I don't know. I don't know where he is. Paul, if you're out there listening, give a call.
That's hilarious.
1190. Yeah, but isn't that funny how you can remember?
You know how I remember names? Because I'm absolutely horrible with names. It's like when I put someone in my phone, I'll put down like, you know, Bernadette Radio Show at first, and then I'll always remember you.
Do you know how to spell my last name?
I don't even attempt.
It's like spaghetti.
I know there's a lot of T's in there. There's some P's. There's some S's.
No, there's not a
there's
P.
No.
There's no P's.
I don't even know.
Yeah. Fiaschetti, like Fiaschetti. Spaghetti.
Mm-hmm. Fiaschetti.
Fiaschetti.
No, don't forget it.
Yeah.
Or Fiaschelli.
I'll look
when
it up
I first met Marie. So when Marie first, this is a really funny story. So
it's sad.
When Marie first came on board with One Life Radio, we were getting new business cards, and they're ones with little seeds in them, so you can plant them and they grow stuff. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, we're at the airport getting ready to go to the first Paleo FX, all of us together.
Nice.
And I looked down at my card, and she had my name, Fiaschelli, with two L's instead of two T's.
That's awesome.
Italian?
I have hundreds of them still.
That's hilarious.
Oh, the thing is, that one you little can cross. Take a marker.
Yeah, and cross it.
Yeah, and there we were in the airport waiting for our flight and taking a black pen and like putting, you know, the
yeah, the little cross on it. That's hilarious. Yeah.
But isn't that funny? Yeah, good stuff here. And so I'm really looking forward to Linda getting a chance to letting her heart bleed and her soul heal today a little bit. She's been through a lot. She's a wonderful woman. As I said, I talked to her for a long time this morning. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to go to break. And when we get back, we'll get started. So everyone, stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started a company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H Hemp Company products. Search H Hemp Company and use code OLR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H Hemp Company and code OLR to feel better naturally and calm your brain.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like Blueberry Blast, Coconut Cashew, Cinnamon Roll, and Salted Caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Sun Warrior believes that plants provide the cleanest and most powerful foods, rich in antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and phytonutrients. Our bodies crave real foods, especially in this age where we heavily process everything we eat, stripping out all of the benefits and nutrition well before we have a chance to even use them. Illuminate your body, mind, and the planet with Sun Warrior. To learn more, visit them at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com.
Hi, this is Sean Wells, certified sports nutritionist, registered dietitian, and biochemist. One Life Radio and I are so excited about the launch of our Thorne dispensary. Thorne is the most used brand by medical practitioners as a result of its industry-leading quality control. Further, Thorne has a team of doctors, chemists, and dietitians formulating their products to be the gold standard. There are very few products I would personally endorse as a clinician, nutritional biochemist, and the world's greatest formulator, but Thorne is atop my short list. Visit OneLifeRadio.com to shop my hand-selected vitamins and supplements, including FloraPro LP Probiotic, Berberine 500, MethylGuard Plus, and Resveracell in optimized resveratrol. Be sure to click our banner on OneLifeRadio.com and create an account to receive your exclusive 20% discount along with free shipping today.
This is Jill with the One Life Radio Fueling Champions Minute. Did you know magnesium is a cofactor in more than 300 enzyme systems that regulate diverse biochemical reactions in the body, including protein synthesis, muscle and nerve function, blood glucose control, and blood pressure? Magnesium is required for energy production, oxidative phosphorylation, and glycolysis. That's a mouthful. How do you know if you're getting enough? Signs and symptoms of possible magnesium deficiency include restless leg syndrome, agitation, insomnia, muscle stiffness, cramping, and aches. Well, where do you find magnesium? Food sources include raw almonds, leafy greens like cooked spinach and chard, raw cashews, pumpkin seeds, black beans, avocados, and my favorite, dark chocolate. Don't forget those Epsom salt baths and be smart about supplementation. This has been the One Life Radio Fueling Champions Minute.
Did you know there are over 3,000 kinds of snakes? And most, being shy, pose no threat to humans. But they are still feared and killed, even for frivolous fashion. In his poem Snake, D.H. Lawrence marvels at a snake drinking from a water trough. He succumbs to irrational fear and impulsively throws a log at the very animal he admired moments before. He writes, "And immediately I regretted it. I thought how paltry, how vulgar, what a mean act. I despised myself and the voices of my accursed human education. And I wished he would come back, my snake, for he seemed to me again like a king in exile, uncrowned in the underworld." This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us it's easy to be kind by choosing fake snake over real skin for belts, bags, and shoes.
When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand, and
Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Berrientos. I've got Marie Early in studio, Daniel Tagg, and our very special guest today, Linda Hullenbarger. She is the mother of Mason Hullenbarger, who her son sadly passed away last month. The topic today is ideology over civility. Priest condemns son at funeral. Okay, Linda, how are you doing?
I'm okay, thank you.
Okay. I just wanted to express our sincerest condolences, heartfelt condolences from all of us here at One Life Radio, as well as iHeartMedia. I know this is very difficult for you to speak about, let alone on national radio. So for our listeners who may have not caught the headline, what happened at your son's funeral?
Well, first of all, after our son Mason passed away, we had went to Father Don LaCusta to have a meeting about our son's funeral. We told him what we would like the homily to say. He did not know Mason. He did not ask anything about Mason. He did not ask how Mason passed away. So we had asked him to talk about family, talk about loving one another, lifting people up, being kind, kind of wanted it short and sweet. That's what we asked for the homily. He had wrote all these notes down, and a couple of days later, or we had gotten back with him about a day later, acknowledging who we wanted to have the readings, do the readings. He still never mentioned anything about Mason, questioned anything about Mason. So then at the funeral, when he started the homily, he started talking about suicide. Mm. And my husband and I were shocked. And I looked at my husband and I said, "What is he doing? What is he saying?" We wanted this to be an uplifting homily. We wanted this to be about our son and his life, not how he left us.
Mm-hmm.
He kept repeating the words. I kind of lost track of how many times, and finally my husband looked at one of our children and said, and myself, and said, "I need to stop this." So my husband, in front of hundreds of people in the church, got up and approached the pulpit very respectfully and whispered into his ear. I myself at the time wasn't even sure what he said because he said it so quietly.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Father, please stop," is what he ended up saying. Nobody else knew what he was saying. He returned to our seat next to me, and Don LaCusta, Father Don LaCusta, did not stop. He did not miss a beat.
Mm-hmm.
He just kept going and going. I was mortified at how he took over our son's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
During our meeting, we had talked about him letting anybody stand up at the end of the funeral and speak, say any kind of words they wanted, you know, stories about Mason. And we said we wanted to read, we wanted to say something ourselves. So then he ended up proceeding to finish the funeral. I had to look at our funeral director and tell him, "You need to stop the music," because by that point the organist had started playing. And he looked at me and went over and stopped the organist. So then this was yet the second time that we had to stop him during our son's funeral.
Yeah.
So then that's when my husband and I both walked up to the pulpit and had read something we had wrote the night before that we wanted to say. Otherwise, he was going to yet take that away from us also.
Yeah. Well, keep going. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, we're listening. We're just listening, and it's a very difficult subject to talk about. It really is. You know, when you read what's been reported from different news sources, it's just unbelievable. It says, as the priest's words ripped open the Michigan family's wounds, Jeff Hullenbarger, like you said, tried to intervene, and it says, after the first few times that he said the word that we don't want to say, suicide, I approached the pulpit and told him, I whispered in his ear, Father, please stop. It didn't work. He didn't miss a beat. He kept going, Jeff said. He said that word another handful of times. It made the worst day of our lives even worse. And, you know, it's hard for me to believe that someone who is supposed to be a reverend father, you know, a higher spirit, would behave in such a way. And so after the incident, let me ask you this. What was the response from the church?
Actually, we had to call the church. We called up at the Archdiocese of Detroit. Oh, we made, I don't know how many calls we asked to talk to a bishop. We finally got, we talked to a bishop. Then we asked who was ahead of him. He said the archbishop. We had to call the archbishop. So when they say they were in contact with a family, the only reason why they were in contact with us is because we were calling them. They had, I can't even tell you how many phone calls, emails, letters that were sent to them because people told us. I emailed them. I've called them. Physical letters that were sent to us and copies that were sent up to the archbishop. And that's why we got something back from them to actually try to talk to them. We want him removed. Mm-hmm. We have numerous letters, cards, saying different situations that they have been in at Mount Carmel, that he has hurt other people in different funerals.
Right.
Different situations. So the response back from the Archdiocese was because we got a hold of them first.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, almost 2 weeks after the funeral, CNN reported that Lacusta had not responded to requests for comments, but the Archdiocese of Detroit apologized to your family. But that's not completely true either, is it?
Well, the Archdiocese, they ended up apologizing, I feel, because They put it out in the media that this apology, and then Father Lacusta apologized during a mass, and I believe it was a Sunday. Of course, I was not there. Somebody that was there told me about it, but I'm not quite sure who he was apologizing to, because more than likely the majority of the people that were in that mass on Sunday were not at my son's mm-hmm. funeral. And I believe the funeral director guessed between 500-600 people that were in that funeral. He's not apologized to all of our family and friends that were there. We've got nothing from them, from Our Lady of Mount Carmel, not from Don Lacusta. We've got no apology at all. So he read this apology during a mass, and I had asked another priest that was with Bishop, who wrote that apology? I don't even know who actually wrote that apology, but it was never apologized. It was never to us.
Yeah. Okay, so the homily, he went completely against your wishes and never led on to the fact that he had a completely different agenda that he wanted to present at your son's funeral, correct?
Correct. We had no idea this is what his thoughts were. Well, like I said earlier, when we had the meeting with us, he never asked about Mason. He never asked how he passed. Even when we called him back to confirm on who was going to do the readings for the funeral and what songs we definitely wanted, he still never said anything about his feelings, what he thought about the situation. We had no clue that this is how he thought. Had we known that, we either would have asked for another priest or would have never even gone to Our Lady of Mount Carmel and taking our son there for his funeral.
Mm-hmm.
He never, this whole funeral was about him and was about his thoughts.
His agenda.
And his agenda. He took over our son's funeral.
Wow.
And we had no idea that this was his, that these were his thoughts.
Well, and this had happened many times before. You received a lot of letters from people. You've also received a lot of letters from priests that are horrified that this has happened, other priests in the Catholic Church. My personal opinion is that he needs to be excommunicated. He needs to be removed from the Catholic Church and never allowed to serve as a priest again. But we're going to talk more about it after the break. Linda is going to stay with us, and you're listening to One Life Radio.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Well-Being Journal is a remarkable bi-monthly health publication esteemed by intelligent readers worldwide. It's available in print or digital, single issues or subscription. Its focus is on living a happy, healthy life and preventing or healing illnesses naturally. Preventing or healing cancer, arthritis, cardiovascular conditions, and digestive issues, as well as nutritional solutions for optimal health, are regular subjects. Learn more at wellbeingjournal.com.
Hi, I'm Bob Barker. This is my friend Benny. Before you buy cosmetics, personal care, or household products, you be sure they have not been tested on animals. Everything from floor cleaner to shampoo is poured into animals' eyes and down their throats. They suffer intensely. Some even go blind. The price is never right for products tested on animals. Visit PETA.org for a list of cruelty-free companies.
Whoever said you can't poop in style? The Curve is a sleeker version of the original Squatty Potty stool that will look fabulous in any bathroom. Choose from pink, black, gray, or white. Its minimalist design is sure to please the eye while staying durable and built to last. Go to squattypotty.com/onelife for 15% off your entire purchase. Poop, poop, be do.
Hi, I'm Eli Roth for PETA. While violence in the movies is make-believe, sadly, violence against animals is all too real. Countless animals are tortured and abused every day, and most of the time, these crimes go unreported. If you know of someone who is abusing an animal, please tell the police or tell an adult. People who get away with hurting animals often turn their violence against people, and that's a cycle we need to break. So let's leave the violence where it belongs, on the screen.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon
is the only light we'll see.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I have Daniel Tagg in studio with me, Aviana and Marie Early, and I have Linda Hullabarger on the line. She is the mother of Mason Hullabarger, whose son sadly passed away last month. We are talking about ideology over civility. A priest condemns son at funeral. Thanks for staying with us, Linda. You know, we talked about, for those of those that did not catch the headline, what happened at your son's funeral, and after the incident, what was the response from the church? But, you know, I want to get this out there, and I know this is important to you as well, that the homily that was reportedly read at the funeral was not the homily that was actually read, correct?
Correct. That may have been what was written down on paper, but that is not what came out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Not even close. He basically was calling our son a sinner. I feel like he was just, he was crucifying him mm-hmm. in front of hundreds of people when he didn't know anything about our son. Nor did he ever ask about our son. So the homily that has been out in the press is not what, like I said, what words came out of his mouth.
Right. Which is a lie on the Catholic Church's part. I mean, it's just an outright lie. And, you know, when you think of the word father, too, you know, I grew up Catholic, so it was, you know, Father Joe or Father whoever. A father is someone that protects you, someone you look up to, someone that you regard as an authority. And I just think the Catholic Church really needs to listen to what we are talking about on the air today. The Catholic Church should not be about blame or shame or guilt or having an agenda, especially when a child has lost his life and their family is there suffering. You don't use that as an opportunity to push your views about something that really is none of your business. And so, you know, I want to get to this, too, because I think this is very important, and I know it's important to you, and I want your heart to heal, and I want the truth to come out. So the Archbishop keeps sweeping this under the rug, correct?
Correct. He has.
And what do you want what do you want people to know about this, about the Archbishop and what how they've been handling this situation?
Well, we did have a meeting with the Archbishop, and when we went to the meeting at the church that they said we would meet at, we drove up to the parking lot with the cones, with the parking lot entrance being coned off. We had somebody, a lady, run out to our car and ask if that's who we were. We had two gentlemen inside the church looking out. There was a wall of windows in the church watching us.
Yeah. Do you think they did that? Do you think they did that to intimidate you?
I'm not quite sure. I asked the lady when she approached our car. I said, "What's going on with these cones? Why is the entrance is coned off?" And she said, "Oh, I don't know. I just got here."
Mm-hmm.
When I had asked one of the priests that were in the meeting with us, with the Archbishop, what was up with the cones, and how that I got no answers. When we went into the meeting with the Archbishop, we started talking. We wanted to talk about the situation with Father Lacusta, and he said that he was not going to talk about it. My husband asked him, "Why would the Catholic Church choose a man with such moral character?" The Archbishop responded, "We're not going to talk about that."
Mm-hmm.
Anything that we had to say, he did not want to talk about. We asked him to come bless our son, and he said he would think about it. The second time my husband asked him to come bless our son, because obviously we felt like it wasn't a genuine blessing at his funeral, the second time he said, "I will try." The third time my husband said, "Please consider. I will pick you up. I will drop you off at your door." The other two priests that were in the meeting with us, then they said, is it okay if we do it instead? Mm. The Archbishop, I told him, I said, how can you get up every day knowing that a priest, what he's done, because he's had numerous emails, letters, phone calls of different situations that have happened, how can you wake up every morning knowing what he's done and what he's and what he will more than likely continue to do, because their feeling of fixing this is having the homily reviewed by a priest mentor. Mm-hmm. Well, we reviewed his homily. We felt we reviewed his homily. I had asked the other priest that was in the meeting with the Archbishop, who's reviewing his homily? I got no answer. I said, is somebody sitting in the church during his masses to make sure he is saying what the homily is said that supposedly is being reviewed? I got no answer. I said, is anybody sitting in any of his masses to make sure? I got no answer. To that he would not preach at any funerals for the foreseeable future. I said, well, from what I've been told from numerous people from the church, that he didn't like to do funerals. In my opinion, that's not hurting him. Taking a funeral away, I don't know. In my opinion, is that like less work for him to do? And then that they agreed to pursue the assistance he needs in order to become a more efficient minister. If a priest is conducting himself this way and a family, parents have to stop their child's funeral twice with no remorse from a priest, he had a smirk on his face.
Yeah.
What does that tell you? The Archbishop is sweeping everything under the rug.
Yeah. Well, and when I hate to even call him Reverend Father Donald Macusta, because there's he's not fatherly at all. But when he read his apology during the Mass weeks after you'd lost your son, he did it with Christmas lights around his neck and was joking, telling jokes beforehand, was in a jovial mood. And I just find that behavior so disgusting.
Well, I will admit I was not there, but somebody that was there had said that he had had, and he was, I guess cracking jokes, how they said it. And I don't, I wasn't there, so I can't, I can't definitely, but that's what I was told. And like I said, with the apology that he read to a mass of people that he's, I don't even know if he wrote the apology. I asked another priest from the Archdiocese who wrote this apology. He would not answer me.
Yeah.
Not answer me.
Well, and then, when we were speaking this morning, you told me this crazy story about someone that wrote you a letter. And when she contacted Father Macusta, Donald Macusta, about the special prayer, he told her to Google it. What was the story that she wrote to you?
We have a letter, and this was part of a letter that we had given the Archbishop, and we asked him to read it out loud to us, this letter that was handed to us by a person. He said he would not read it out loud. It was a quite lengthy letter he wrote. He read very quickly, and I asked the Archbishop, you read that whole letter already? And he said, yes, I did, which it was very lengthy, but there was a parishioner who experienced the loss of a loved one by suicide, made an appointment with Father Macusta to inquire about the use of special indulgence. Again, the parishioner was told that suicide is a sin and to go home and Google special indulgence.
Wow. Well, has this affected your beliefs in the Catholic Church at all?
Well, I definitely still believe in God. That is for sure. I believe that there is a God. I do not believe that a God would not understand our son's hurt or anybody else's to where if they're hurting so bad,
yeah,
that they would. My son said, only God can judge me. And the priest, if you want to call him a priest, stands up in front of hundreds of people and is judging my son that he didn't even know. He didn't ask any questions about Mason. He has hurt other people in other funerals. I got a letter saying that from a family friend that when her mother passed away, she says, I know now why my mom wouldn't let her at her house to give her last rites.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. You know, we spoke this morning about what you did get to say at your son's funeral when you finally were able to step in, you and your husband, Jeff, and speak about your son. Do you want to read them? Or I know we said that that we talked about me reading them, but I feel it would be so much more powerful for you and just the people out there listening if you read them. Are you up for that?
Yeah, I can do that. This is what we wanted the homily to be about. This is what our message that we wanted to be about our son, that we have already talked to some of you this morning. The kind words and hugs were greatly appreciated. For those of you we did not get to talk to, thank you so much for being here. Unlike the words that were just previously spoke, and my husband had added that, mm-hmm. we would like to celebrate the life of Mason today. It has a great impact on the lives of many people. Personality like no other, passionate and opinionated. That is what we loved about him. Our family's message for you today is be kind to one another. Reach out to those you care about. Show sincerity in your actions. And love forever, unconditionally. And then I had said, and lift people up.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I thank you for being on the air with us today. And I'm gonna end the broadcast, not the whole broadcast, but just this segment. And you and I will talk. I'll talk to you soon, Linda. And
all right, thank you.
God bless you, and our thoughts and prayers are with you. And I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you again.
You're welcome. Thank you, everyone. Right. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Introducing Moonlight, the latest squat to poop stool from Squatty Potty. Moonlight will light your way to the toilet on the darkest of nights. May your love of Squatty Potty burn brightly day or night with a motion and light activated nightlight with 3 brightness settings. Go to squattypotty.com/onelife for 15% off your entire purchase. Follow the moonlight.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Hi, everyone. This is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagonline.com. That's paleomagonline.com.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or squattypotty.com. That's squattypotty.com.
Lala's Mexican Cafe. Clean, real food for your mind, body, and soul. Lala's believes that what you eat matters, and so do I. That's why they serve only the cleanest, freshest ingredients, serving grass-fed beef, organic chicken, non-GMO tortillas and chips, non-processed cheese, and non-refined sugar and unprocessed flour. Stop by Lala's Mexican Cafe for one of their organic margaritas, sweetened with stevia, and experience a better way to live La Vida Verde. And if I see you there, margaritas are on me. That's Lala's Mexican Cafe in Preston Center, Dallas, Texas. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, and Daniel Tagg. We're going to try to get a little happier here. That was a very heavy interview and talk, but much needed. And anyway, so we're back, and we're talking with Daniel Tagg. We're going to be talking about incorporating incidental movement into your daily routine. Daniel Tagg is an orthokinetic specialist trainer at Telos Fitness Center. He is certified in orthokinetics, biomechanics of resistance training, and MAT, that's muscle activation techniques. Daniel is a licensed massage therapist and holds belts in three different martial arts systems, and he was a wildland firefighter. We're talking, like I said, about incorporating incidental movement into your daily routine. And I would like to add to that, to incorporate lots of water drinking in your routine after what I went through the last couple of weeks. Basically thought I was either had ovarian cancer, my liver was failing.
She thought she was dying.
Like, I really thought I was dying.
In the next few weeks.
Like, seriously, I was in so much excruciating pain, I could barely get through the day. Come to find out, so my friend said, Bernadette, listen, I think that it might be your kidneys, or maybe a kidney stone that's supposed to be real excruciating, that type of thing. And I think maybe you don't drink enough water. Start pounding the water, which I did. And I can't even tell you, after going from thinking I am dying to a matter of three, I couldn't even breathe. Like, I couldn't even breathe. It was hard for me to get in and out of my car, such severe back pain. And within 3 hours, it almost completely subsided from just pounding water.
Yep.
So there's a message in that. It's hugely important. And you talk about it all the time, Daniel, as an orthokinetic specialist trainer at Telos Fitness Center right next door to iHeartMedia. So let's talk about this article that we're covering today from the February-March issue of Paleo Magazine, Movement Snacks, 10 Ways to Make Incidental Movements Part of Your Daily Routine by Daryl Edwards from Primal Play. Okay, so what's the difference between movement, physical activity, and exercise?
So he kind of talks about is movement means any change in the body position of the body or a limb, space, you know, anything that changes the space ranging or ever so slightly, just like even a eyeball blinking, right? The eyelash blinking. And then physical activity is the body movement produced by skeletal muscle that results in the energy expenditure beyond that of the body at rest. This can include activities such as walking, gardening, climbing stairs.
That's
physical activity.
That's physical activity.
Physical activity. Then exercise is a subject exercise activity that is usually planned, basically, structured, repetitive movement that encourages in the fourth of purposing of the developing of maintaining physical fitness and health. So it's basically
blah, blah, blah.
I know, right? So exercise is usually a planned thing that you would go to a gym is what everyone thinks. And you're lifting weights, you're doing Pilates. Those are the physical exercises. Or exercise itself, not physical activity. Physical activity is more like walking, stuff like that.
Well, you know what I read today that I actually captured a picture of it because I thought it was such a great statement from Training Groom Dallas. I saw it on Instagram. Exercise is a celebration of what your body can do, not a punishment for what you ate.
Yes.
And I love it. It is a celebration of what your body can do. And when you think about it like that, it's very empowering.
Yeah, I've never really looked at exercise as like I ate something, so I have to go exercise. I feel like that's a negative connotation.
It is.
I want to go exercise because it makes me feel better.
Right.
I have goals that I want to hit. It releases endorphins. It makes my day better. It makes my brain clarity and my productivity physically and mentally better.
You'll laugh because I did 100 squats yesterday. Even though I was in excruciating pain, I knocked them out slowly. Mm-hmm. I thought if I'm going to die, I'm going to die strong.
Well, that's, you know, you also want to listen to your body sometimes.
Yeah, you want to do that too.
That could be, I like the attitude as far as the mindset, but maybe not the best thing for listeners to do. If you're in a lot of pain, just go knock out 100 squats. That's not the best advice.
I was just joking.
Yeah.
No, but no, I really wasn't. But
he does list a lot of good ways of getting activities in physical exercise without having to go to the gym.
Okay, so let's talk about some of these 10 practical ways. Okay, so he says use your lunch break to squeeze in a brisk walk. Mm-hmm. I used to do that. I used to jump rope on my lunch break.
And what's really good is he talks about eating real quick and then go walking. Well, that helps your insulin sensitivity and how you respond and digest that food. That's one of the things that Sean talks about all the time is you can, like, if you're going to have a higher carb meal, getting out and doing a little activity has a huge effect to how you utilize that.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it's like eat a little something light for lunch, go out and use that for jump rope, for walking. I see people walking around here all the time from people that are in Clear Channel building.
Yeah. No, I just had a memory. Crazy. You guys will laugh. Marie, you want to say something?
I said, but just don't swim, right?
Yeah.
Is that still true?
Yeah, you want to wait. Usually, I think it's like, what, 15,
that
20 minutes or something?
That is a myth.
Is it a myth? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't
I mean,
like
you're
to
not
going
to.
Well, she's a lifeguard.
Yeah.
Did you know that Aviana's a lifeguard?
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I failed
you should
that
see
test.
Her in that red bathing
can
suit.
Can save lives over here.
Nice.
But, I mean, it's not like you're eating a full plate of pasta before you're going to swim, you know? If you have some fruit, you're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine.
You're starting to sound like you've been hanging out in New York or something. Oh, my gosh. I love it. Yeah, she's an incredible swimmer. But yeah, so I used to work 3 jobs. This is when I first moved here, okay? And so I literally had no time to work out. Mm-hmm. So I would either jump rope at my break on my first job or in the evening at the first Pizza Patron on Jim Miller Road, I would go in the back room in between pizzas and just jump up and down.
Right.
Hey, that's hard. After like the first 20 seconds, you're like, I'm done.
Yeah, to just burn, to just like get some movement in.
And that's awesome. But when he talks about incidental movement, I guarantee you were making the pizzas, you were running back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
You were actually moving all day long. So even that in and of itself is pretty good, but mm-hmm. then going the extra mile is even better, obviously.
Yeah, there's actually a really funny picture of me fast asleep, out cold, sleeping on a bunch of bags of flour.
I love that.
We'll put it out on social media. It's hysterical. I was out cold.
It was good.
You were like balancing on the bags too. Yeah. Her body's like half on the bags and her feet are straight, like bent on the floor.
Yeah,
it's hilarious.
It's pretty funny. Yeah. But, you know, but so to go to your point well taken, is that you do get a lot of exercise depending upon even what kind of job you do.
Exactly. Like when I was working construction, I didn't lift 5 times a week when I was doing construction because I was hauling up shingles up ladders. I was leaning over. I was, you know, throwing shingles off. I was doing, that's for the roofing basically. But I was doing stuff all the time. So I'd work out, you know, maybe twice a week. In mm-hmm. the gym because mm-hmm. I was working out for 8 to 12 hours a day anyways, just moving and doing construction.
Well, and I know you do this. You park your car at the edge of the parking lot.
Yes.
Do you turn housework into a workout? I know I do.
I know you do. When I saw that, I was like, I know Bernadette does. I don't necessarily turn the housework into a workout. I just get it done as efficiently as possible.
Well, and yard work.
Yes.
You know, or walking with your dog mm-hmm. or walking to the store.
Well, and so many people pay to get their yard work done.
Mm-hmm.
Go do it. You save yourself money and you're working out instead of paying to go work out.
Yeah. Bam.
No, right? Absolutely. Yeah. I used to mow my own lawn. I haven't mm-hmm. in a while. My lawn's bigger. A lot of lawn.
A lot of grass.
A lot of grass.
Yeah, but walking the dog each morning is really good. You know, walk to the store if it's just right around the corner, right? Don't take your car there. Take a standing break for every 30 minutes. Like, just get up if you're at the... If you're at the desk doing computer work, stand up every 30 minutes.
Yeah. Well, and move around while making phone calls. I do that. Or I do this when I watch football. Turn TV time into a mini workout. Mm-hmm. I almost always work out at halftime.
Yeah, and commercials, do push-ups, sit-ups, squats, whatever.
Always always fun with you. Daniel, thank you so much for being in studio with us today. I want to let everyone know you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. A big shout-out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. You can get it at Vitamin Shop or put it in your smoothie at Smoothie King. Squatty Potty, go to squattypotty.com. The H Hemp Company, I love my hemp oil, and they are one of the best out there. Check them out at hhemp.com. Paleo Magazine and the Wellbeing Journal. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. I know I did. Very heartfelt condolences to Linda and her family. You know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and be kind.